is always with fear and trepidation when any of us speak before the rest of us. But as I look out, I appreciate the fact that you've made me comfortable because you remind me of being in our church where people don't like to sit in the front either. And so it makes me a little more comfortable up here. I'm going to bring a message to you this morning that is not deep, but yet it's important. And a lot of times my people will ask me why I preached a certain sermon or at least developed a passage in a certain way. And many times I tell them that I figure that if I needed to hear this, at least someone else did as well. And as I bring this to you this morning, it's because, first of all, I need to hear this over and over again and trust that it will be of benefit to you as well. I'd like to just begin and set the stage with a couple of verses from Psalm 119. Where the psalmist says, "Thou didst establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are thy servants." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, that it penetrates to the depths of our being. We ask, O Lord, that you might use your word this morning to change us and to make us more like your Son and to refocus us once more on your greatness as well as your covenant love and commitment to your people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thomas Jefferson was a brilliant man. Thomas Jefferson believed in God. The problem is he did not believe in the God of the Bible. As most of you know, Thomas Jefferson was a deist. And a deist is someone who believes that God has created that which we see. And yet, as our brother Keith would say in Kenya, went on holiday after that. And is not involved in his creation or with his creatures that he has created, but has simply created and gone away and left it to run on its own. Now I know, or at least I surely assume, that none of you that are sitting here this morning believe in the God of Thomas Jefferson. You know that God is both transcendent and immanent. You know that God created all things and that he is personally and completely involved with all that he has created. You know that he works immediately upon men and other creatures as well as upon the inanimate creation itself. You know our confession, which says in chapter 5 and paragraph 1 that God does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures and beings. You don't believe in the God of Thomas Jefferson. But let me ask you this question this morning. Are you ever haunted by the God of Thomas Jefferson? In other words, in practice, do you often, for example, find yourself thinking, acting like, preaching like, evangelizing like a deist? Let me remind you of some practical results of deism. Deism, again, teaches that God is not involved in his world, and because God is not involved in his world, there are certain things that, by definition, God does not and cannot do. A deist God does not intervene in history. There are no miracles. There will be no judgment. No control of the natural forces of creation. A deist God is not involved in the production of Scripture. The doctrine of inspiration, as found in the Bible, is ludicrous to a deist. There's no power in the Word. A deist God does not regenerate and convert a man. A deist God is not involved in the sanctification of a Christian. A deist God does not answer prayer. Simply by definition, he cannot and does not. And so I ask you this morning whether all too often, you are a practical deist. Do you believe that God is involved in His world, in His church, in His people? Now, I think all of us, if we were given a written test, we would get that right. But what about practically? Are you, as you come here to this conference today, are you coming from your own situation where you are living and ministering as if God were a deist God? Do you live and minister convinced that the Bible is the living and active Word of God? That it is living and active in your ministry? I can often have thoughts, well, I know He's working in this brother's ministry, and maybe everybody else's ministry, but is He really working in my ministry? Am I believing that today? Do you really believe that God is going to use His Word in your preaching? Again, my brother's over here. He's surely using His Word in his ministry. And I know that He will use it in this brother's who's maybe in his own mind struggling a bit. But will He really use it in my ministry to accomplish His purposes? Or at times, are you a practical deist when it comes to your own preaching and ministry? Do you live and minister convinced that God is at work in believers to will and to work for His good pleasure? Or maybe you're a practical deist as it concerns your own sanctification. One of the things that we as men who hold dearly to the doctrines of grace, we understand our sinfulness. Do you ever become discouraged when you look at your own life and see how far short you fall? You begin to think, Lord, I'm impossible. You're not really going to change me to be like Christ. Or maybe you look at your congregation or certain people in your congregation and think, Lord, this one's hopeless. None of you, I'm sure, ever do that. But you think, Lord, can you really work in that person's life? Are you a practical deist when it comes to the issue of sanctification, whether yours or maybe someone in your church? Do you live and minister convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is in fact involved in your ministry to build His church? That the gates of hell won't prevail against it? Do you believe that He is working and will work in the conversion of sinners in your community? I can wrestle with that. We're in a community that's 90% Italian Roman Catholic. And sometimes it seems, can I really trust God to work here? You ever have those thoughts? Do you really believe that God is at work for the growth of your church, whether it be in numbers or in godliness? Or are you, again, a practical deist all too often when it comes to the results of your evangelism and your outreach, even though maybe you can believe it for another brother or another church? Are you a practical deist when it comes to believing God for the maturity of the members of your congregation to which you minister, that He would increase by His grace the size of your church and the maturity and godliness of your church? Let me ask you this. Are you convinced that God is involved in the life of your children? Again, I can often look at another man and say, well, I know God's involved in the life of his children, but is He really involved in the life of mine? As fathers, we have great hopes of all of our children being in Christ, but we can't change a heart. God has to do that. Are you ever discouraged that God won't change your child's heart? Are you convinced that God is active in all of ARBCA's missionary endeavors? Or maybe since David is here, is France really too tough a place for the gospel to go forth? I think that about New England often. Is Ireland too tough a place for the gospel to go forth? Maybe we should have missionaries in places that are a little bit easier than these places. We can be practical deists when it comes to really believing that God will work through our missionaries in fields like that, don't we? Are you convinced as you minister and live that God answers your prayers? Again, do you ever think, well, you know, I see Him answering this brother's prayers, but He doesn't seem to be answering mine. Maybe He is on holiday. He's forgotten about me. Do you ever have thoughts like that? I'll leave the questions at that because you can add others to it. But brothers, we need to be challenged and reminded of who our God is as we come together this week. We are all too often, if we're honest, haunted by the God of Thomas Jefferson. Whether it's personally, in our ministry, in our families, in our associational endeavors, whatever that might be. You and I can think and minister like deists all too often. We can practically forget that God is involved in all that concerns us. Again, we can believe that He's working in other people and other places, but not necessarily in our own people and in our place and even in us. As we gather together at this conference, may each of us turn anew to the living God, to the God who is not only the creator but the sustainer of His world, to God who is the inspirer of Scripture, to the God who is the converter of men and women, to the God who is the sanctifier of His people, to God who is the builder of the Church of Christ, to God who Himself is the great evangelist, to our covenant God who has covenanted in Christ to do good to us all the days of our life, who has promised to work in response to the means that He has given us. That we would once again be reminded that God is involved in His world. He is involved in our lives. He is involved in our families. He is involved in our churches. He is involved in our evangelism. That we might not be discouraged, whether personally, ministry, or associationally, but press on, as Paul says, to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, from Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word stands firm in heaven. Thy faithfulness continues to all generations. Thou didst establish the earth, and it stands. They stand this day according to Your ordinances, for all things are Thy servants." May you and I renew once more in our thinking and in our ministries, in our own lives, who it is that we serve. The living and true God. And not only the One who is sovereign and all-powerful, but the One who has covenanted in Christ to work in and through us and through our people and through our witness. Let us pray. We'd just like to pray for us as Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 1. Our Lord, we ask that You might give to us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Yourself. That the eyes of our hearts might be continually enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of our calling, what are the riches of the glory of our inheritance in the saints. And Lord, especially as we have seen this morning, that we might know what is the surpassing greatness of Your power toward us who believe, a power that is in accordance with the working of the strength of Your might, which You brought about in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. You, the God who have put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and have made Him head over all things for His church, His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. O Lord, may You remind us that the power that works in us, the power that works through your word, through our witness, is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, I pray for myself and for each of us here that we would indeed renew our vision of who you are, and that we would not minister, as it were, as practical deists, thinking that you're not involved in all that we do for your glory. We ask these things, O Lord, in Christ's name.